As we begin, I have a question for you. What do you do with a penny when it slips out of your hand on the floor or in the store when someone is giving you change? Do you pick it up? Just let it go. How many? Just let it go. After all, it's only a penny, right? 1 cent. You'll never miss it. When you see a penny on the sidewalk or out in the parking lot, do you pick it up or just let it go? Just walk on by. After all, it's really only a penny. 1 cent. You'll never miss it. I invite you to focus on the penny you received. Hopefully you all got one. As we hear from Luke tell this familiar story about money, it was one of Jesus' favorite topics. From the 21st chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 4, from the New Revised Standard Version. Jesus looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a poor widow put in 2 small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you," and when Jesus says those words, you know you're going to get a lesson. "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more in the offering than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." Mark, the gospel writer, also tells this story. "Just then he looked up and saw rich people dropping offerings in the collection plate. Then he saw a poor widow put in 2 pennies. And he said, the plain truth is that this widow has given by far the largest offering today. All these others made offerings that they'll never miss. She gave extravagantly what she couldn't afford. She gave her all." Let's pray. Most gracious God, may the words that you have given me to speak and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable worship to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In last Thursday's Connector, which is online, in a word from the pastor section, I ask a few other questions. I like doing that. So here goes. How do you measure life, your life? Do we measure our lives in worldly weights and measures, like dollars and cents? Or do we use spiritual scales to measure love and sacrifice and service? And although we may be reluctant to admit it, we are a society that judges many things, as well as people, according to monetary value. We assume that if something costs a lot, it must be good, right? If another version of the same thing costs even more, it must be better. Whatever happened to the beauty of simple gifts, the dignity of small gestures. What is with this demand for grand and ostentatious? Supersize, superabundance, superfluous. Buy a dozen bagels, get an extra one free. Supersize your soft drink, just 20 cents more. Get that designer label instead of the knockoff. Feel superior and elegant. Both Luke and Mark tell the story of the widow's mite. In Mark's account of the widow's offering, we hear Jesus teaching his followers that in the temple with him, I'm going to offer you a stern warning, says. Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted in the marketplaces with respect. They have to have the best seats in the synagogue, places of honor at the banquet. You know, the good stuff. And then both Mark and Luke tell us that Jesus began to watch people. Watch them putting their money into the temple treasury, trumpet-shaped offerings, spouts. 13 of them, each marked for a different mission. Luke says Jesus saw rich people making their offering, but we're not informed of the amount they were putting in. But can you imagine dropping something into a metal trumpet-shaped offering plate? Probably pretty loud, with rich people having a lot to give. But we don't know what they were putting in, only that it was out of their abundance. Leftovers, so to speak. Jesus then observes a poor widow, a woman already with two strikes against her, very low on the social scale of things. Two small copper coins, nearly worthless. An inconsequential gift by any ordinary standard. But Jesus observed that the contribution was not out of her abundance. Not just a token gift like the rich, but the widow put in all that she had to live on. An offering. Let's take a moment to explore the meaning of offering. And I like the suggestion of one of the commentaries that I read on this passage. Imagine yourself in the story. You are not as one observing the action of the poor widow. Imagine yourself as those two small copper coins, because those coins represent more than money. They represent faith. Faith and belief lived out in the concrete act of sacrifice. The coins represent a faith-filled offering presented to God in service to God. A simple, yet very profound, genuine trust in God. Costly discipleship from this woman, this poor widow, who I'm sure was being ignored by many that came to the temple that day. I have another question. What would cause a person to voluntarily give away her last two pennies? Perhaps it was because the widow still believed still believed that God would provide. Regardless of her circumstances, everything she was and everything she had, she knew still belonged to God. The widow's mite. M-I-G-H-T is demonstrated in the strength of her faith. And she invites us with her action to focus on the currency of commitment. Trusting God. It's the commitment that turns all of our mites, M-I-T-E-S, added together into a mighty witness for God. Story in Luke and Mark is not about raising funds, though it's often used as a stewardship sermon. Maybe you'll hear that in spring. This story is about raising our spirits. Raising our spirits in response to God's love and God's faithfulness, no matter what. Page after page of Scripture shows us the faithfulness of God. The story recorded in these two Gospels is a model of how to live out of the abundance of God's grace. The abundance of God's grace offered to us in Jesus Christ. It is a story about the commitment of the heart, giving out of a bountiful faith in a bountiful God who gives blessings in abundance. So without knowing it, this widow offers a timeless example of selfless devotion to God. The story acknowledges that it is the condition of the heart, not the size of the gift, that is important. As Reverend Fitzgerald mentioned earlier, in St. Paul's Fall Study Group, A Disciple's Path, we are reminded that John Wesley was convinced that there is a direct connection between our heart and our money, the use of our financial resources, other gifts as well. And we offer them in loving response to the gifts that God so abundantly bestows upon each of us. And we are encouraged to do so with intention, sacrifice, so that we might bless the lives of others. We are given the challenge of what one of my favorite theologians, Mr. Rogers, tells disciples, talks about discipline. And he sings this song. I'm not going to, but he does. The title of his song is, "You Gotta Do It." You gotta do it. And it goes like this. You can make believe it happens or pretend that something's true. You can wish or hope or contemplate a thing you'd like to do. But until you start to do it, you'll never see it through. Because the make-believe pretending just won't do it for you. You've got to do it, every little bit. You've got to do it, do it, do it. And when you're through, you can know who did it, or you did it. You did it. You did it. It's not easy to keep trying, but it's one good way to grow. It's not easy to keep learning, but I know that this is so. When you've tried and learned, you're bigger than you were a day ago. It's not easy to keep trying, but it's one way to grow. Mr. Rogers also says the real issue in life is not how many blessings we have, but what we do with our blessings. Some people have many blessings and hoard them. Some have few and give them away. John Wesley, our founder, would remind us that a disciple is someone who has moved from being the recipient of the church's mission to being responsible for the church's mission. I invite you now to take some time, a time of reflective, silent prayer. Hold the penny. Thank God for ordinary blessings. Focus on one thing that you take for granted. See abundance in what the world deems as lacking faith.